All right, is it morning? Yes, good morning. Good morning. All right, so good to be with you again. I was coming back from Mexico a couple of years ago, and is this thing on? Yes? All right. And when we arrived in Houston, there was about 15 international flights that landed at the same time, and the immigration department was chaos. And while we were there, another plane after plane kept coming in from all over the world. And there was a mass of people, and we were waiting in line. We were in line 4 hours till we finally got through immigration, and we missed our connecting flights and all of that. While we were waiting in line, people got angry, right? So I was telling our group Christians, hey, don't get angry, right? And they almost had fights, and police had to come because we were waiting for so long. I don't know about you, but I hate waiting. We're going to talk about waiting today. That's a very important principle in the Christian life, is the idea of waiting. Now, I remember when I met my wife, and you're all excited, and you want to get married, and you can't wait to get married, right? And so, you know, you're talking to the spouse, and, I can't wait to be with you every day, and all that kind of stuff. So 35 years later, she tells me, hey, don't you have to go preach somewhere or go somewhere? I need a break. And like, well, what happened to this? I can't wait to be with you every day. Anyway, so I hate waiting, and I'm sure you hate it too. Don't we all hate waiting? Yeah, it's all right. So everything is moving fast. This computer right here, I had to just upgrade it because my other one died on me suddenly. So I went over there and said, oh, yeah, it's 5 years old. This is no good anymore. I'm like, wow, that's it. Yeah, you have to get another one. I'm like, all right, so this is a new one. Technology is always changing. Everything is in fast pace. Phones constantly getting new ones. I got a new one 6 months ago, right? Now you know why I'm broke and poor, right? You're constantly having to buy new junk. And planes and cars, everything's upgrading. And everything's in a hurry. And so there's a principle in the Christian life that you have to understand, especially if you're young, but even for us older already, right, that you have to wait on the Lord. So let's go to the scriptures, and let's see what the scriptures have to say, and we're going to consider this topic about waiting on the Lord. So go to Psalm. We're going to look at a bunch of Psalms first, and then we'll look at some other passages, but we'll start there. So Psalm 37, let's take a look at some concepts about waiting. And before we do so, let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so grateful for your word. Thank you that it's inspired. Thank you that it's inerrant. Thank you that we can trust it. Thank you that it says the truth and nothing but the truth. Thank you that it's the wisdom from God. Help us to listen to it, to obey it, as we sang just a while ago, to trust and obey. Father, pray for the Holy Spirit to be our teacher today and our guide, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So it's a blessing to be saved, to know Jesus Christ, to see your sin, to see the Savior hanging on that cross, to trust Him, and He transforms your life, and you can't be the same. So in my experience, as I have prayed with many people, and yes, I trust the Lord, I don't believe them anymore. Because I said, well, with time, we're going to see if they're really saved or not. Because a true believer will continue in the ways of God, and they're going to be in love with Jesus Christ. You might have times you get cold or whatever, a little indifferent, but you're still going to say, yes, but I'm saved. Because He transforms your life. You're born again. You're made a new person. You can't be the same. And so one of the things that you have to learn once you get saved is this concept that you have to wait on God. And so let's look at these verses and let's start looking into this. Psalm 37 and verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out a wicked scheme. So wait patiently for the Lord. Verse 9. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Look at verse 34. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. Look at Psalm 27. Look at Psalm 27. And we're going to consider verse 13 and 14. 27, 13 and 14. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And here it is. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Now look at chapter 25 and verse 3. 25 and verse 3. Indeed, none of those who wait for thee will be ashamed. Those who do treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Look at verse 5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. For thee I wait all day. Look at Psalm 40. Look at Psalm 40. And verse 1. This is one of my dad's favorite chapters. We're going to just look at verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. So I waited. Look at Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Just in case you think this topic is not touched in the Bible, look at Psalm 62. My soul waits in silence for God only. For him, from him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. Look at verse 5. My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. Wow. He's dead now, but ex-president Garfield, or do you still say president? You still say president, right? Yeah. Yeah, former. There you go, former. That means he used to be, right? Okay. This is what he said. When God wants to make an oak tree, he takes 100 years. When he wants to make a squash, it takes 2 months. All right? So hopefully you're not looking like a squash. All right? And so a friend of mine, I hate him for this. He always tells me, hey, Ray, God's not in a hurry. Like, do you have to keep reminding me of that? I hate waiting. I'm very impatient. I'm always fast-paced. Let's get it done. And God is like, hold on. I'm going to teach you a principle in the Christian walk, and that's this, that I have my timing, and you're going to wait on me. You're going to wait on me. So I hate to wait. I put my food in a microwave, and I get mad because the food didn't warm up in 35 seconds. And I have to do another 20 seconds. And it, you know, just gets me angry. When I was a student, I was in a hurry. I wanted to finish up and get done. When I'm in traffic, it makes me sin. How about you? And I started, Lord, I didn't really say that word under my breath, you know. What did that dumb man get in my way for? And, you know, you start saying other words that I don't care to share with you. All right? But anybody else do the same? Sure you have, right? Nothing makes a person sin like traffic. That, right, road rage, right? Why? Because we have to wait. We have to wait, and we don't like waiting. So we have to wait for retirement. And then you retire, and then you die a couple of years later. It's like, wow, all that waiting for that, you know? And so you have to patiently wait for a Christian to mature, to grow. And why can't you just mature in 1 year? But it takes a whole lifetime. It takes a whole lifetime. So it's hard to wait on God. We want God to fix things and to fix them now, right? Anybody there? Right? So God is not in a hurry. If you don't remember anything else, remember this, you have to wait on God, and God is not in a hurry. So I went to pick up a missionary from the airport, and in the way home, I was just like flying, just going through cars, and he was holding on. He said, are you in a hurry? I'm like, no, why? He goes, dude, I'm about to die here of a heart attack. And so, you know, the funny thing, as soon as he said that, a police pulled over to the side of me on the highway and said, hey, slow down, dude. I'm like, oh, okay. He didn't give me a ticket. He just told me to slow down. But that's my nature. Here's what Tozer says. We hear a great deal about go ye, but not much about tarry ye. We hear teachings about urgency, you know, go out and preach the gospel, but not about patience and waiting. So let's take a look at some biblical examples. It's always good to go to the Bible and look at some examples. So here's Abraham, and God calls him, and he hears, oh, God called me, and he's all excited. And so he gets his family together. I'm going to, you know, take you to a land, and I'm going to give this land to you, and from you, the world's going to be blessed right through your seed, through Jesus. So he's all excited. He tells Sarah, and then they take off. And so, okay, so you're going to give me a baby, right? And so year one, year two, year three, year four, and year five. And then all of a sudden they start looking like, didn't you say you were going to give us a baby to leave my land? And it's been 5 years. You know, did I hear you wrong, God? And so 6, 7, 8, 9. And at the 10th year, they're starting to lose their patience. Yeah. Okay, God, why do we have to keep waiting? You said you were going to give us a baby. So we're going to come up with a plan. And here's where the flesh comes in. This is our own plan. Since we don't want to wait on you anymore, and we're starting to get weak in faith because you made us a promise, we're going to fix it in our own way. And now you know the results, right? God said when that baby was born, he's not going to be the one through whom the seed's going to come. And send them away. Because that wasn't my plan. That's the flesh. You couldn't wait on me, but I'm not going to let you go that way. I have a plan. You're going to wait. And so another 10 years go by, right? 20 years already. How long have you been praying and asking God to work? What have you been asking him to do? All right, so 20 years. They're getting older. They're like, okay, Lord, we kind of can't have babies anymore. They couldn't have them from the beginning anyway. Because God wanted it to be something supernatural. It had to be from God. Just like salvation. You didn't earn it. God gave it to you. It's a supernatural work of God where he gives you new birth. And so finally, the baby was born. They had to wait 25 years. Does that make any sense to you? My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than yours. The way God works continues to baffle me every day. Why does he do what he did? Why does this guy who loves God die young and this one who hates you live to be 90? And so the things of God. Now, you remember Saul. Saul, they're getting ready for battle. The Philistines are threatening them. And he's waiting for Samuel to come. And he gets impatient. He can't wait. And he does a sacrifice. And then here comes Samuel. He says, you did a foolish thing. Better to obey than to sacrifice. He couldn't wait. And Saul, you know, he was very impetuous. And the Lord pretty much removed him for his disobedient, impatient, sinful ways. He couldn't wait. Eileen Gruder says this, to be impatient with God, chronically, habitually impatient with him because things are not to our liking, makes the Christian life a dreadful burden. Wow, that convicts me. All right, so David then says in Psalm 27, let's go back to that one real quick. Look at Psalm 27, and look at verse 13 and 14 again. And this is what David says. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. So how long have you been praying? How long have you been waiting? What have you been asking him to do? You keep praying. You keep waiting. Part of the Christian experience, the fundamentals of Christianity, is you have to learn to wait for God to work. You cannot forge on ahead. You got to let him do his thing. You're not going to persuade him in any way by your pouting, by your getting angry, and make him work before he's ready to work because God has everything set. Wait on the Lord. Let your heart be strong. Wait on God. Keep praying. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep waiting. God is working. Now, remember David now. Let's go to more biblical examples. Here comes the prophet Samuel again. He ungió. I can't think of the English word. I'm thinking of Spanish right now. I know, thank you. Yeah. He anointed him. That's the Holy Spirit, right? You can speak either language and yeah. All right, anyway. All right, so he anoints him, and you're going to be the future king. So what was he, 15, 16, right around there, 17 years old? And so he's like, I'm going to be a king, right? And so the story starts unfolding, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year. And then, as you remember, Saul starts to pursue him and to make his life miserable. And so year after year, he's running from this guy, and he's like, this is miserable, living in caves and living like a savage. And Lord, when are you going to save me from this? Look at his reaction. Look at Psalm 13 and verse 1 and 2. Look at what he's saying. Now, this psalm is David, somewhere, I guess, I would say somewhere between the year 6 and 10 of him waiting on God to make him king. And this is what he writes. How long, O Lord, without forget me forever? So at this point, he feels abandoned by God and forgotten by God. How long without hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Wow. You can see David then, really frustrated and just confused and wondering why God isn't working. And so God didn't take him out immediately. Even after this prayer, time kept going. And the Bible says that when he was 30, he became king over what? Over Hebron. And then he was there for 7 years, right? And then he became king over all of Israel. So between in those 7 years, there was like a civil war going on. So he had to wait 13 years, give or take, from when, how do you say that word again? I'm thinking in Spanish again. Anointed, thank you, anointed. When they anointed him until he became king, there was about 13 or 14 years. Right? And so the whole time, he's waiting. In between, notice that when he was given the opportunity to take away the problem, so he wouldn't have to keep waiting, he didn't jump ahead and kill the guy. He waited patiently for God to take care of the problem. You see? And so David, when he's saying, wait in the Lord and be strong, that was part of his experience. All right? Now, the Israelites. I'm reading through the Old Testament again right now. And one thing I noticed, and again, the way God works kind of baffles me, but he tells Abraham, your people are going to go down to Egypt, and then you're going to be there 400 years. Then I'm going to bring you back. I'm like, well, Lord, they're already there in the land. Why are you sending them to Egypt? Just let them be there. But he sent them down there 400 years. And then he sends Moses. Oh, speaking of Moses, God called them. And he knew it. His mom was telling him, God is calling you. You're going to be the one who frees the people of Israel from the esclavitud. Man, I'm going back to Spanish again, from slavery. And so he's getting prepared during this whole time. How long was he being prepared by God so that he can be the deliverer? How many? 40 years. Well, at the 40th year, he goes, okay, I guess everybody knows that I'm going to be the deliverer. He sees somebody abusing an Israelite and he kills the guy. Because it's in his mind is like, I've been trained all these years through Egypt and military and all, and I'm going to be the deliverer. So he was thinking in the flesh. Right? And so he goes and kills a guy, and God says, that's not how I'm going to work. It's not going to be you in your power, in your strength, in your flesh, doing what I want. And so he sends him out to the desert for how long? 40 years. Okay? And so during this whole time, he's basically doing nothing, shepherding, you know, following some sheep around. And the whole time, it took that long for God to break him of his self-reliance, of trusting in yourself, in your training, and who you are. 40 more years. Yeah. Of breaking him. So by the time he sees the burning bush, he says, God, who am I? Send someone else. Ah, now I can use you, Moses. He's 80 years old by now. Man, most of us are already dying, right? At that age. 80 years old. And then now I'm going to use you. And then the last 40 years is the whole story of the deliverance. Did you know that? Right? And so he lived to be 120 years old. 40, 40, 40. That's how you divide up his life. All right, what about Joseph? Well, Joseph, God was in his life and calling him as well. He didn't know how to take it. And so he's kind of bragging about his dreams and all. And his brothers get mad. As you know, they sell him. So how long from he was 17 years old when they sold him as a slave? How long was he suffering and in jail and all that as a slave before he became second to Pharaoh only? How long? Have you done your math? The Bible says he was 30 years old. He was 30 years old. So if he was 17, how long did he wait before he was 13 years? 13 years. Yeah. What about the Apostle Paul? From when he got saved and during that whole time of God training him and working his life, then he tried to go to Jerusalem to meet the people, the Christians. They were afraid of him even after many years of being saved. Then they sent him to Tarsus. By the time Barnabas went and called him and brought him into the work, how many years went by? About 13. About 13 years when he became a worker. About 13. Do your math. Do your work. Investigate. Between 9 and 13, I think it's more like 13. Do the work. All right? And so this whole time, finally, Paul starts in full-time work preaching the Word of God. He had to be trained and prepared. Just because you go to Bible college doesn't mean you're ready. You see? I had to learn that too. I finished Bible college and the Lord said, nah, not yet. Not yet. I'm on 7 more years of all this kind of stuff. And then, even then, I wasn't ready. You think you are. And so, interesting how long God takes to do his work. All right, now, when you're not sure about God's will in times of uncertainty, let's address this, all right? So, you remember Habakkuk, right? You want to go there real quick? I'm going to show you a couple of verses from Habakkuk. Now, because it's in the Minor Prophets, I put my little thingy here to find it quickly, because if you're like me, you have to start digging through every book until you finally find it. So I'm going to give you a few minutes to locate Habakkuk. All right? So get there. All right, now, Habakkuk had an issue with God's timing because he says, God, I don't understand what you're doing. I'm looking at all this violence and all this sin. Why aren't you doing anything? That's chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, right? I'm not going to read it. We're going to go read something else. But he's like frustrated. God, why aren't you acting? Why aren't you doing something? And then God says, I am already acting, doing something. And so then he's more confused. And he says, well, I don't understand why you're doing it that way. So look at chapter 2 and verse 1. I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart. And I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. And now notice verse 3. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. So Habakkuk did something very wise. He was, Lord, I'm very confused as to what you're doing and your timing and why you're not acting. So you say you're already doing something. I'm still confused. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait in silence and just pray until you give me some more understanding as to why you're doing this. Very wise to do. Don't forge on ahead if you're not sure. Wait on the Lord. And that's what he does. I'm just going to be quiet. And then the Lord reveals to him, I'm going to do something. Babylon's going to come. The time's set. The date is set. I'm going to do it. And then notice chapter 3 and verse 16. Notice 3:16. I heard and my inward parts trembled. At the sound my lips quivered. Decay entered my bones. And in my place I tremble because I must wait quietly for the day of distress. for the people to arise who will invade us. And so, man, this guy, wow, I see your plan now, God. And I have to wait for this, and wow. But he knew that he had to wait. There it is again, waiting on God. Look at well, we already saw Psalm 62. I'm going to wait silently for God. I don't think where we are where God wants us to be if we're grumbling while we wait. And so the Lord's going to keep working until he breaks you, and you just surrender. You say, okay, Lord, I'm going to wait on you, on your time. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to make you change your mind because you have your plan set. And so what about in regards to salvation? What does Galatians say? At the right time, God sent the Son born of a virgin at the appointed time. You know, he had said in Genesis 3:15, I'm going to send the Savior. And he was saying it throughout the Old Testament. And in Malachi, he says it again. And then 400 years, there goes another 400 years. You think God's in a hurry? 400 years. And he finally shows up. Oh, here I am. I'm the Messiah. What? No, you're not. Well, 400 years, he finally shows up. And people were like baffled. Oh, you're here? They weren't even ready for him. I guess they quit. Well, those people still were looking for the redemption of Israel. So there's a song. In your time, Lord, you make all things beautiful in your time. In your time. All right. So now let's go to some more New Testament principles. I'm assuming I end at noon. Right? Give or take? All right. Very good. Let's go to Romans 8:23. Look at Romans 8:23. Now, you're going to be saying, well, you use a lot of Old Testament examples. We're not in the Old Testament anymore. You know, blah, 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 stuff like that. So look at Romans 8:23. 22 for context. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. And so we're waiting eagerly. So that principle is there, that we're waiting. How long ago was this told? Way back at the beginning when Christianity first began. And where are we at now? You know, what, 2,000 years later? How long is it? And we're still waiting. Because God has everything set. At the right time, the waiting will end. Now look at Philippians 3:20. Philippians 3:20. Okay, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. This was my sister's favorite verse. I don't know if y'all know the story of my sister, but she was young when she had cancer. In fact, God used that sickness to bring us all to Christ. That was part of what God used, her sickness. And she had so many surgeries, and she was always sick and weak. And she would always say, you know what my favorite verse is, Ray? Right there. Verse Philippians 3:20. I can't wait because I'm eagerly waiting for the Savior who's going to transform this body. You know, and the Lord finally had mercy and took her home. Her body was a mess. Like 30 surgeries and just, you know, missing parts everywhere. It was hard to see. But that was her verse. I can't wait. And so the Lord finally said, okay, now I'm going to take you home. So we wait even for the Lord to call us home. And we wait for the Lord to return. You have to understand this principle as a believer. And you're going to go a long way when you understand that you have to wait on God's timing. He's got it set. All right. And so We're waiting on God to redeem our bodies, to get the new body. I'm already taking pain pills once in a while because, you know, the parts are starting to hurt. And so, yeah, it's going to get worse. So that's where we're at. That's where we're at. But we're also waiting for God to act in judgment. Now, how many of you have said, well, Lord, when are you going to return? I'm tired of waiting. We keep saying it. Come on, Jesus, show up. Rapture us so that the whole thing can come to a conclusion. I'm tired of hearing people curse your name and take your name in vain and mock the name of Jesus. Are you tired of it? Well, you should be. If you have any kind of spiritual zeal, you're like, man, don't talk about Jesus that way. It's got to bother you. And you're tired of waiting. How long are you going to let people mock you? And so God tells Noah, start building an ark. I'm going to still tolerate these people for another 120 years. Why? 120, and there he is putting the boards together and working it. And finally, the time came. And then the people come rushing, but the doors were shut. And it was too late. Now notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. You know, I was having a conversation with some friends. They came over. We were discussing how do you know if someone's really saved or not? So we were talking about the fact that this one lady said that she was saved, and I got Jesus in my heart. I said, okay, you do. So how are you gonna get to heaven? Oh, because Jesus is in my heart. I said, really? And I said, then why do you believe in purgatory? Where she kind of gets all red. And I said, didn't you tell me that in your house you have a whole section separated where you have your saints? That statue's a room of worship. Now, there's something wrong with you saying that you have Jesus in your heart and yet you have a room in your house of worship, and outside in the entrance of your door there's a statue of some lady, the virgin, whatever. So the Bible says that in the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Something's not connecting here. And of course, they don't want to talk to you after that point because they're not born again. So today, or listen, this is another thing you have to learn. Those of you who evangelize and who are shepherds and teachers like I am, right? What people are going to tell you, they believe in Jesus. Everybody's okay with that. But when you say Jesus is the only one, the only way, no Virgin Mary, no statues, no that other thing, whatever, I forgot the name of it. And you know, it's Jesus and him alone. You bow to the name of Jesus and you adore him. He is the Lord, that which means that he's God. And we don't adore anyone else. And to say that you have Jesus in your heart and you're praying to the Queen of Heaven is an absolute contradiction. You are not saved. Don't fool yourself. You do not know the Lord Jesus, because when you get saved, you bow to him and him alone. And you worship him alone. And so notice the text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9 and 10. For they themselves report about us what kind of reception we had with you. Notice, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God. So they left the idols behind, and notice, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So part of the testimony of the true believer is that you leave idols to serve the true and living God, and to wait for Jesus to come from heaven. For us, it's the rapture. For us, it's the rapture. And so, let me encourage you. I needed to hear this when I was a teenager. Nobody told me this. So I'm anxious and forging because I'm too wired, right? And so, I needed to hear that. You know what? The fundamental part of the spiritual growth in your Christian walk is that God is not in a hurry, that you have to wait on the Lord to work things out. You can't force it. And if you do, you're going to fall into sin, and then you're going to regret the decisions you made because you plunged on ahead when it wasn't God's will. And so we get too excited. You know, I want to get married. And so you just, the first, you know, boy or resemblance of a boy comes out, that's it, you know. It's like, what's the rush? Yeah. That's for a girl, of course. For a girl, you know, the first boy, whatever, you know. All right. I'm getting myself tangled here. But we're in too much of a hurry for everything. And God, when he looks at your life, he says, I have a 40-year plan for you from when I save you till I take you to glory. And I have all these things set in order, and I'm going to unfold my plan, and I'm not in a hurry. And I'm going to slowly develop you and build up your faith and get you strong so that you can serve me and learn to wait on me to work. And so we get so excited that we tell people, just pray, because we're going to see them get saved. And then we give them false hope. Right? You remember when that guy, the rich guy, comes to Jesus and, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? We would have said, oh man, this guy wants to get saved. Let's pray with him. No, Jesus said, no, he's not ready. He said, he asked the right question, but he wasn't ready, was he? And when Jesus confronted him, he walked away. Right question, but he wasn't ready to be saved. And so at the right time, God would judge with fire. Meanwhile, we eagerly wait as God continues to save and to work out a sovereign plan, and at the right time, the waiting will end. So I want to encourage you. Have you been praying? Maybe if you're married, you've been praying for a baby. Maybe if you're not married yet, you're waiting. You know, it seems like the day's never going to come. It'll come. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for God to do to save your aunt or your uncle or your parents or your cousin, or to do something. We keep praying, and God is going to work out his sovereign will in our lives. He's in control. So we continue to wait. All right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. And indeed, Lord, we are impatient creatures. We want you to act and to act now. And help us to submit and to wait on you. That was what the scriptures have taught us today. Meanwhile, we praise you and we trust you. Be with us the rest of this day, we pray. In Jesus' blessed name, amen. Amen. Thank you for allowing me to be with you today.